った。
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. There seems to be a prescription drug available for almost every health problem, and pharmaceutical companies have taken to the airwaves in droves to tell you about them. They now spend more money on advertising than they do on research and development. That has increased patient demand to be given specific medicine for whatever ails them. Sometimes a drug is the right answer, but for the longest time, it has almost been Western medicine's only answer, and that is beginning to change. Western medicine is beginning to adopt philosophies of treatment that come from Eastern cultures. We call this approach by several different names: alternative medicine, integrative medicine, whole health medicine, just a few of them. It just so happens that Charlotte has been building a culture of integrative health for a while, with some doctors encouraging patients to exercise more, eat less meat, practice yoga, drink tea, and so on. Much of this change of approach is the result of the work of Dr. Russell Greenfield, MD. He's been working at spreading this message for a while and is now director of Greenfield Integrative Health and president of Greenfield Consulting. He's the guy who develops wellness information for shoppers at Harris Teeter, by the way, and a frequent guest on Dr. Oz. We won't hold that against you, but welcome back.
Thank you very much, Mike. It's a pleasure.
Nice to have you here. And as we said, this whole health approach involves many disciplines, and we've invited some practitioners of those disciplines to join us. Adrienne Wee grew up in a family where her mother was a prominent Chinese medical doctor. She now practices traditional Oriental medicine and operates inner peace, acupuncture, and wellness. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I walked in the room and she already told me today I have scattered chi.
Yes.
I don't know what that means, but I'm scared.
Don't be scared. We'll talk later.
Is there a pill for that?
There isn't.
Darn. Okay. Amy Sullivan is a certified Tai Chi instructor and whole health educator at Davidson College. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Melanie Snyder is founder, organizer, and instructor at the Yoga Club. There are many locations. How many locations of the Yoga Club are there?
Oh, we've got probably 8 or 9 different levels of activity.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll talk about some of those as well as we go through the program. You've been on the show several times in the past, Dr. Greenfield, and we've talked about how you got on this path toward this approach in medicine. But you started in emergency medicine. And for those who don't know you and haven't heard the story, how did you go from that to what you're doing now, this integrative health approach, which you've also helped spearhead first in the hospital system here and then in private practice?
Well, thank you very much. And to be sure, I'm not the only one. This community has a lot of different folks who have been trying to promote this kind of change for quite a long time, many of them unknowns who've been really very courageous in this regard. For myself, the emergency department is, I think, a microcosm of many of the ills that you see in healthcare. Lots and lots of people show up whose, let's say, physical problems have been very well addressed, but whose issues of an emotional, maybe even spiritual, family and community perspective have never been touched, or maybe had a Band-Aid placed over them. We have a disease management system. We really don't have a healthcare system. In fact, when you ask a healthcare provider to define health, it's very rare that you will get the same definition from two different people. We focus more on managing illness, not on preventing illness. And really, that's what we're talking about here. The emergency department is a common pathway. Folks end up there because their illness ultimately drives them there. When you take a look at that and see that on a daily basis, you take a look and you say to yourself, at some point, how do we stop this crazy, vicious cycle? And that really means each of us has to take more responsibility for keeping ourselves healthy. That's how I got moving in this direction.
And we have practitioners here who help people do that in various different ways, but it's difficult to prove a negative. So if I'm feeling good, I don't think of myself as needing any help from anybody. So how do you convince somebody that this is something you need to work on?
Well, in this day and age, everybody wants a sense of control. And I think that fewer people now are convinced of the idea that they don't have any control over their future health. We now realize that through our diet and lifestyle and through select complementary therapies like acupuncture, like yoga, things of that nature, we can actually promote optimal health throughout a long, healthy, and fulfilling life.
I want to ask you the same question, Amy, because you're a whole health educator, which is hard to say, by the way, at Davidson College. How do you convince somebody that this is a new approach? You go to a doctor when you get sick. You want to be treated when you get sick. You don't think of yourself as needing to be treated when you're well.
Well, most of the motivation for getting well is obviously somebody has had an experience that they cannot control and they want some answers, and then they start doing some research or they join a class or they talk to a physician about it. to tell someone to be proactive is just imagine your healthiest self. I mean, in the media, we're bombarded with, you know, you need this to feel better. It's all sort of been capitalized with money. But essentially, people can take control of themselves and feel the absolute best that they want to feel through exercise, through eating the best diet for them, through, you know, finding community support or joining some situation where they feel like they have a purpose. And, you know, if you want that for yourself, then I'd say be proactive, go out, find something that works for you, try something, just do something different than you're doing right now because you're not really stuck where you are.
I mentioned, Adrian, that you practice traditional Oriental medicine, and that is the correct title, isn't it?
Correct. I have a Master of Science in Traditional Oriental Medicine, but I practice traditional Chinese medicine.
And the reason I say that is because Oriental, the word, has fallen out of fashion.
Right.
So I don't want people to say that I'm calling you something that I shouldn't be called.
No.
Is that the philosophy in Eastern medicine, this constant vigilance of being aware of what you are, how you feel, what you do to make yourself feel that way, and take preventative steps so you don't get sick? Is that the philosophy?
Yes, absolutely. Traditional Chinese medicine promotes, working on the whole health so that, you know, you don't get sick. I get a lot of patients that come to me after years and years of suffering chronic illness, and, you know, I have a treatment plan for them. When they get better, they keep coming back. We have a maintenance plan for them. They keep coming back once a month, once every other month, is because we want to prevent this from occurring again. So that's definitely, and, you know, in China, people take herbs, people, you know, they do acupuncture, and it's not because they're sick. It's because they know that if they don't take care of themselves, they will get sick.
But, you know, herbs, how is that different from drugs? Because a lot of the drugs, almost all of the ingredients in drugs come from plants. So
sure.
What's the difference?
Well, Western drugs, they extract one ingredient from a particular herb or a particular compound, a substance. Chinese herbs, it's the whole plant. We use the entire plant, and it's never prescribed by themselves. Like, for example, I can't just give you one herb. I had to give you a formulation of herbs. Usually a formulation comprises of 10 to 12 herbs. And, you know, some of the familiar ones are like ginseng, peppermint, ginger, licorice, dates. We use all of that. But I won't just give you, here's a bottle of licorice. It's more like, you know, here's a formula based on your condition I have customized for you. I have selected 10 to 12 herbs that I think it's going to address the underlying cause of what's causing your condition.
Now, as she speaks, and I know you buy into this, but as she speaks, I could see doctors and patients going around the city because it's a different way of thinking. And you use, Dr. Greenfield, the word courageous. Some courageous people out there in your field of work have adopted some of these ideas. It does take courage. When you first started out and you first became aware of some of these practices and procedures, were you skeptical?
I was, and I think you have to have a jaundiced eye with some of these different therapies. But that also includes conventional medicine. You got to take a look and see what the actual data are. Chinese medicine, Oriental medicine, this is a complete field of healthcare in and of itself. And so to simply, you know, move it away and say, well, there's no data behind it, there's a big difference between there not being any data and our lack of awareness of existing data. And there's a lot of research data behind select practices of many different complementary therapies, but I do want to draw the distinction there. We're not talking about alternative medicine. That's a term that implies we're using something instead of conventional medical care. Conventional medicine has its place, but so do select complementary therapies, including practices like acupuncture and even Chinese herbal medicine.
Where does yoga fall into all of this mix, Melanie? Where does it fall in?
Yoga is kind of interesting from in a general way. Most people come into yoga as a part of their overall health and well-being before they're sick. Most people are coming in as an exercise practice, and they don't actually know the benefits beyond the physical musculoskeletal benefits of yoga. The other benefits include constant detoxification of the body and mental awareness and calmness. And that comes naturally
with the practice, whether you're intending to get those benefits or not. People definitely come to yoga because their doctors have recommended it, but I'd say that's probably a much smaller percent than the average person just coming in to replace going to the gym with something that's an alternative form of exercise.
I would wager you don't have scattered chi.
I don't know about that.
Her chi feels yoga, very center to me.
Yoga helps bring it in.
We'll talk some more about the particulars of all that. What's causing these barriers to fall? Because 25 years ago, we wouldn't have been having this conversation. And if we did, we'd look at this as hocus pocus because of our Western mindset. So what's causing the barriers to fall?
Personally, I think it's a number of different things. One is that, again, people are being courageous as patients. They're going out and they're saying, what's working? Because I don't want to be on all these medications. I mean, when did healthcare become synonymous with taking a whole bunch of pills?
When did that happen? Because that's exactly what it is now. It's all about, here, you're sick, take this. Oh, you got that? Take this. When did that happen?
Well, I honestly think for myself, it started back in around the 70s with managed care, because that's when medicine, which had always been a calling, became a business, became an industry.
Amy?
And relatively recently, Western medicine came on the scene. I mean, most of Chinese medicine's been around for thousands of years. Our medicine is relatively young, not very much experience accumulated in it, but Tai Chi and yoga and Chinese medicine has been practiced for a very long time, and a lot of those techniques have been refined over centuries.
I want to get back to something you just said about medicine used to be a what did you call it?
A calling,
and now it's a
it's an industry, a business
industry, and the leading it's the biggest industry in the country. If you read, we did a show on medicine earlier this week. This is our medicine week here on Charlotte Talks. But if you read Stephen Brill's article, Bitter Pill, in Time Magazine, the pharmaceutical medical complex is more influential, bigger, and better funded than the military complex is. So, and if you watch television, particularly if you watch newscasts on television, network newscasts, every commercial is for a pill.
Well, it's because you know what? That advertising works, and people ask their doctors for these kinds of things. But here, you know, around this table, you have Chinese medicine practitioner, yoga practitioner, healthcare coach. These folks are available so that each of us can assume greater responsibility and take care of ourselves, rely more on ourselves, less on the healthcare system.
Well, that's go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think that people are beginning to realize that taking pills is an experiment as well. And these alternative medicines are an experiment to see how it affects you personally. And a lot of these you see immediate benefits from. For me, when I started yoga, I was very skeptical about yoga. I started and I saw the physical benefits very quickly from having worked in the corporate field for so long. I had slunched over shoulders from sitting
banking,
at a computer. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pointed out to me, and I had a massage therapist who was trying to help me with that, but that's a much slower process. And yoga helped to straighten out those musculoskeletal differences or misalignments within probably a month or two. And as I was doing it, the mental calmness was coming even though I wasn't looking for it. But I saw those effects. And so I think people are looking for it when they see the positive effects on their body, they stick with a practice that works for them, whether it's yoga or acupuncture.
And unless you are like me with scattered chi today, what are the benefits of – why would you want mental calmness? Except for beyond the fact that you'd like to be calm and you'd like to be centered, and I understand that, are there benefits beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, well, in general, the biggest one of the biggest contributors to disease is stress. And if you're mentally calm, your stress level, right along with that, is very low. You begin to, with yoga and probably with other practices, your general stress level is lower, but also your reaction to stressful events is different. You just get back to a centered state more quickly.
Melanie Snyder is founder, organizer, and instructor at the Yoga Club. We have three other folks who practice various forms of what we're talking about today, integrative medicine. We'll talk more about that in a second. Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Charlotte Talks continues right here on 90.7 WFAE, listener-supported public radio. Support comes from WFAE members and MyFox Carolinas, primetime on WJZY. It's interactive, informative, and new. MyFox Carolinas is on TV, on mobile devices, and on the web at myfoxcarolinas.com. And from Queen's University of Charlotte, honoring Charlotte's Businesswoman of the Year and Duke Energy's first female CEO, Lynn Good. Details at queens.edu. Slight chance of rain today after 4 p.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 46 degrees. Chance of rain and snow overnight and rain tomorrow afternoon with highs near 44. 32 degrees right now in Charlotte.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the Friday News Roundup. The Obama administration delays the ACA employer mandate. Congress approves a debt ceiling increase. And Comcast says it will buy Time Warner Cable.
The Diane Rehm Show today at 10 o'clock on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about, and let me get, I'm not sure what we're talking about because I have given three names for it. I've called it integrative medicine, alternative medicine, whole health medicine. Which is the correct title? Go ahead, Amy.
It's actually quite interesting because as we were walking in here, we were discussing how confusing it is. There's so much out there. There's different names for everything, but that usually happens with something that's new in an environment. So I think once this develops and people really start taking it on, it will sort itself out and there will probably be a term to describe
all
of it.
Well, from your point of view, being that you are a whole health educator at Davidson College, Andy Sullivan, we'll call it whole health when we're talking to you. Dr. Russell Greenfield is with us, director and president of Greenfield Integrative Healthcare and Greenfield Consulting. Adrian Wee is a practitioner of traditional oriental medicine and owner of Inner Peace Acupuncture and Wellness. And Melanie Snyder is the founder, organizer, and an instructor at the Yoga Club, which has, I think, nine locations throughout the area. This approach to health takes in a lot of different considerations. It's exercise, it's diet, it is becoming mentally centered. It's aligning your chakras, I guess. It's the use of herbal remedies and things like that, recharging your inner self, things like that. But if you're faced with a serious disease, if you've got cancer, is this something that helps? Is this an alternative therapy to chemotherapy? Or is this something you do in addition to chemotherapy to lessen the effects of the therapy?
Please go ahead.
I absolutely agree that alternative health therapies could be used in conjunction with chemotherapy. I personally have treated a number of patients who, have cancer and who are undergoing chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and the acupuncture really helps with helping them manage the side effects.
Like nausea?
Nausea, insomnia, hot flashes, anxiety, fatigue, just to name a few. And I usually recommend, in addition to the acupuncture, that these patients do practice yoga or learn to meditate.
And what does that do for them? Take their mind off the pain? Take their mind off the suffering? Take their mind off their condition? Or what does it do for them?
All of the above. I mean, in Chinese medicine, we work with qi or energy, and all of these things will help to center their energy, to gather their energy, because when you're suffering from an illness, your qi is the flow of your energy is interrupted, and all these things would just help them to redirect the flow of energy in the correct way.
I would also say that it's not just taking somebody's mind off of it. I mean, there's really good data suggesting that acupuncture, yoga, mind-body therapy, things of that nature, have much more activity than we previously believe. They actually can literally lessen side effects, can actually help therapies do their job. So these are good complements to conventional medical care. They're not alternatives to that care.
Do we understand how that works? Do we understand? And I know that acupuncture works. But do we know why it works? Do we understand what's going on?
Well, acupuncture, by definition, is insertion of a needle into a point that on an energy meridian that influences your organs. And there has been studies trying to figure out how acupuncture works, but I don't think anything conclusive.
Energy meridians, they're a concept that we don't know anything about.
Correct.
In the West, that's an Eastern thing. So do we know that they exist? Or is that just, or do we know, maybe we call them something else in our culture, but do we know that an energy meridian exists?
There's actually been a lot of research data about this. Remember that Chinese medicine has been around for millennia.
Right.
And was based on observation. And so, you know, lots and lots of recent research has been applied to this. And while the, you know, not a set of meridians has been found actually in the body, but the outcomes research here shows that acupuncture works.
But
so even if we can't see it, we know it's
but
there.
But can we detect an energy flow? If you're putting in needles at a, what did you call it?
An acupuncture point.
Okay.
Yeah, in most of the studies, you know, when they do a set of acupuncture points, they always do a set of what they call sham acupuncture points. Sham acupuncture just means you're inserting a needle randomly. And just to see if it is it really, is there really an energy meridian, or is it just, you know, inserting a needle in a random point will affect the outcome as well. And usually the results are sham acupuncture doesn't work. So that proves that, you know, there is something
going on, even if you don't understand it. You wanted to jump in here, Amy.
Yeah, so I'd like to point out that if you even go back to the development of a person or an animal or anything that's developing, the nervous system is the first thing to develop in your body. Now, why is that? The nervous system is a communication system, and it's based on electrical current. So you have electricity running through your body, communicating with every single cell in there at all times. Acupuncture is based on part of the system.
So we just call it something else.
Well,
kind of.
I think we don't have a full understanding of how the nervous system works or even how the brain interacts with the rest of the body. And I think a lot of what healthcare has been missing is that mental mind-body aspect in the care of a person.
Dr. Greenfield.
We use energy in medicine all the time. I mean, when you have an electrocardiogram, an EKG, it's a measure of the electrical activity of the heart.
Right.
We use ultrasound all the time. We use MRI. We use x-rays. We use energy in all different forms. This is just a different form of energy that we're speaking about within the realm of Chinese medicine.
Sounds like Western medicine uses energy to diagnose and they use it to cure.
Well, I think there's becoming more of a meld in that regard.
Amy, you were pre-med in college. You shadowed physicians and decided that they were really not able to provide an environment for healing, which is pretty shocking. But the whole health educator, which is what you are, your whole purpose is to educate patients about their condition, explain the causes, create patient awareness, and empower them to make the lifestyle interventions necessary to manage or heal their conditions. Those are your words. That sounds so reasonable. Why don't we get that approach in the doctor's office?
Well, I think there's a lot of focus on the financial aspects. And also, we haven't, as a young medicine, we haven't really looked at a person from a whole aspect. There's been a focus on science, on diagnosing, on doing tests, telling you what's out of balance in your body, and then treating it with medication or the doctor might recommend, oh, you need to change your diet. But there's more to a person than just a physical body. If somebody asks you who you are, you're a snapshot of a lifetime of experience. You have an emotional component. You have a mental component. There's a chemical component. You have a body structure component, as Melanie was describing. All of these things work together to create health. You have a spiritual component.
You teach Tai Chi.
I do.
Tai Chi, I think, is I've seen it in the movies where you have a bunch of people out on a lawn someplace looking like they're in slow motion. Is that essentially what Tai Chi is? They're moving in different dance positions. They look like dance positions, but frozen. Is that what that is?
Yes. Tai Chi is an ancient art of moving, and it's slow motion, and the movement is slow so that it anchors the mind to the body movement, which is exactly what yoga does or any sort of practice. If you play basketball or you do any kind of sport, there becomes a zone that you get into where everything just seems ultimately clear and just flows. This is what we're aiming for with Tai Chi, in a calm state. Now, when your body enters a calm state, it goes through a natural healing process. So a message we're missing in our healthcare system is healing is natural. Your body, by design, heals itself on a constant basis. And the reason people get high blood sugar, high cholesterol in their bloodstream is its body's attempt to heal itself. We can't interfere with this process. We have to absolutely get online with what your body needs in order to create the healing to happen. And Tai Chi provides that calm, relaxing state that any student can access in class or outside of class. And during that process, their body's healing the whole time.
Why would one choose yoga over Tai Chi or Tai Chi over yoga?
Most people choose both. It's more of a personal preference. I would say that Tai Chi, because it's a slower moving activity than some of yoga is, or what people perceive yoga to be. There's actually many, many, many different forms of yoga, but most people consider it a pretty vigorous physical practice. So sometimes elderly people may prefer Tai Chi over yoga, or at least their perception of what yoga is.
But the goal is the same? Is the goal pretty much the same?
The goal is absolutely the same. Even some of the physical movements are almost identical, some of the names the same.
Put your headphones on. We'll take a couple of phone calls because people do want to jump in on this conversation. And we'll begin with Bo in Charlotte. Welcome to the program, Bo.
Thank you, Mike. I am a cancer survivor. About 2.5 years ago, I had surgery for HPV-related throat cancer. And I'm not one who likes pharmaceuticals. So, of course, doing chemo was just, I shudder just thinking about it. And they put me on this thing called cisplatin. And I found out the first week that it causes hearing loss. And in my case, it really cranked up tinnitus. And they have then put me on Erbitux. Well, the damage was done. I found out about an NIH study, National Institutes of Health study, at Duke Integrated Medicine, and was able to get in on that. And it had to do with the lessening of tinnitus through integrated medical practices. So I went up there, and I was up there for 6 months doing, it was meditation, stress relief, acupuncture, and being the most needle-phobic person on the planet, it was difficult for me to think about doing that. But it worked, and I am now actually looking for an acupuncturist in Charlotte. It is the most amazing thing. After about 6 weeks, especially in the acupuncture, I would carry this euphoric feeling with me for a day or two. It started out that I would leave there feeling good, but then it got longer and longer periods. So that plus meditation, which I learned traditional meditation, and then learned just simple meditation during the day while you're at your desk, that type of thing. So I'm a true believer in all of these techniques. I have not done yoga, but could certainly use that as well, I am sure. So all of these actually do work. And again, I was not a child of the 60s, but didn't believe in that. I thought it was hoo-ha until I did it.
You're getting vigorous nods here from Adrian Wee,
yes,
who does acupuncture.
It's so nice to hear that. Acupuncture and other forms of alternative medicine definitely helps. You're the example, I guess.
For people who have never experienced acupuncture and don't like needles, it can be, I would think, a pretty frightening experience.
Absolutely.
The prospect of it, but the needles are so thin. I've had this done, and I'm needle phobic. I don't like needles. You don't feel them.
I'm the same way.
You don't feel them.
Same way.
No.
And I had them take pictures of me because I couldn't believe they were. I gave my camera and said, "Take pictures. I got to show people that I'm doing this."
Yeah, you feel like a pincushion when it's all in, when all the needles are in, but you don't feel them at all. What you do feel is energy.
You do. The needles are really hair thin, and the I think a lot of people have this fear of needles because of the hypodermic needles that mm-hmm. we use, and which are very thick and they're very rigid. So the acupuncture needles are actually very soft and they're bendable. So when we insert them into an acupuncture point and you move your arm, it's not going to hurt because it's pliable and it's moving with the muscle.
You talked about leaving feeling good and then later feeling euphoric. How do you explain that?
Oh, yeah, that I hear that a lot from my patients. A lot of people, they come and they lay on the table for 30 minutes and they take a little nap and they feel refreshed. But, after a course of treatment, after 3 or 4 months, their energy is so much more unblocked. I feel like they, because the energy is unblocked, they're able to tap in and sort of be more in tuned with themselves and like the spirit aspect of what Amy was saying before. And I think they just feel like they are sort of rediscovering themselves. And I think that's what the euphoric feeling is from.
Bo also mentioned meditation. Meditation, it seems to me, goes hand in hand with yoga and Tai Chi, and maybe it's a different way to get to the same end. Yes, no, maybe?
The same end.
Becoming calm, centered. One with yourself?
And healing.
Okay.
And healing. So when you're meditating, basically you're getting back in touch with yourself. You're accessing the information about you, what your physical body's experiencing. If you have anything going on, you can access that, even on a very subtle level. And you can access information about how you're feeling. You know, what emotions are in my space? Why do I is my chi scattered today? Or why don't I feel quite right? You know, what's bothering me? You're not afraid to access these things because they're in your space and they're part of your experience. We avoid so much information about what our body's trying to tell us, what our mind is saying, hey, I'm feeling a little worn down, I need a vacation. Or, hey, you're really boring today, why don't we go do something fun? So there's tons of information that we miss on a regular basis because we're not listening.
Dr. Greenfield.
Well, meditation is simply a state of focused attention. And in this day and age where we might be scattered, this is a very, very good tool for everybody to use. But in addition, we have really good research data here about meditation lessening pain, increasing energy, lessening insomnia, all these kinds of things. So it's really a tool that people should learn early.
I mentioned to somebody yesterday that I was doing a program on this, and they brought up something that I've actually done a program on back in the 70s. I've been doing this for a while. And that was they wanted to know, are you also going to talk about crystals? And they were being facetious. And we haven't talked about crystals, and I don't think we're going to talk about crystals. But back in the 70s, that was part of this mindset. It was considered on an equal basis with acupuncture and yoga and tai chi. What happened to crystals? And was that all hocus pocus, or did they work in some case? What's your take on that?
Look, I think you got to stay open minded to anything that might help people. But it's all about the science here. It really is about applying evidence based assessments, both from an experiential perspective. Has somebody really benefited from this? Hey, we ought to take a look at this. Mm-hmm. Then applying good, rigorous scientific method to take a look and see, can it be offered to a larger number of people? That's where the marriage is here. It's not either or. It's how do you use science and good complementary therapies mm-hmm. together to help people stay well?
And I'd like to add to that living is an experiment. So if you try something and it doesn't work for you, you just keep searching for something that really will.
Well, that's interesting. I'm glad you said that, that living is an experiment and you're trying things. But can things like acupuncture or yoga or tai chi or some other practice lull you into a false sense of security? Maybe I go to get some treatments from some Chinese herbal medicine treatments, or I get some acupuncture treatments, or I go to yoga because I'm not feeling right. And yeah, it makes me feel better, but I'm not feeling mm-hmm. right. And because I'm not feeling right because there's some legitimate medical thing that needs to be treated with drugs or
right.
with other therapies, can I lull myself into a false sense of security and hurt myself in the process?
Acupuncturists in this country are also trained in Western medicine, not quite as extensive as an MD, but we are trained. We take extensive Western medicine classes. So, you know, I am a huge believer in integrative medicine, meaning I think each medicine has its limitations. Chinese medicine is great, but Chinese medicine is not going to remove a tumor. And I think Western medicine is great, too. It can remove a tumor, but, you know, a lot of the drugs that are used have a lot of side effects. So I really believe in using the two medicines together. So if I have a patient who comes in and, you know, they feel great with the acupuncture but not quite right, I always recommend that they go and see a doctor, get blood tests done, get any type of testing, just so we can rule out any major issues that requires medical attention.
I want to get Melanie Snyder's take on this in a second. We have to take a break. We'll come back and we're talking about integrative whole health, whatever you want to call it, approach to taking care of yourself and being healthy. We'll come back in a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Charlotte Talks continues right here on 90.7 WFAE listener-funded public radio. Support comes from WFAE members and Children's Theater of Charlotte, presenting Petite Rouge, a Cajun Red Riding Hood, a musical in the style of last season's Pinkalicious, February 21st through March 9th. Details at ctcharlotte.org. To contribute to Charlotte's NPR news source, text WFAE to 501501 and reply yes to the confirmation text to ensure a one-time gift donation of $10. It's an easy and quick way to demonstrate your support of WFAE, and thanks. Mostly sunny skies today with highs near 46 degrees. Right now in Charlotte, 32 degrees.
I'm Rachel Martin, and I know there's a lot going on in your world. Deadlines to meet, kids to carpool, life to manage. Your time is precious, and when you have some time to spend thinking about the larger world, I hope you'll turn to us. News to keep you informed, conversations to keep you inspired. Join me on Weekend Edition Sunday from NPR News.
News happens all weekend, and we'll keep you up on the latest with Weekend Edition, Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 10 on 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about whole health today with Dr. Russell Greenfield from Greenfield Integrative Healthcare, Adrian Wee, who is a practitioner of traditional Oriental medicine and inner peace acupuncture and wellness owner. Also, Amy Sullivan, a certified Tai Chi instructor and whole health educator at Davidson College, and Melanie Snyder, founder, organizer, or instructor at Yoga Club. And you wanted to chime in on this lulling yourself into a false sense of security thing we were talking about.
Absolutely. I was going to say that one of the main tenets of yoga is really to put you in touch with your body so that you're learning to respond to the signals that your body is sending you. So in general, one of the beliefs is that the more yoga you do, the more you perceive what signals your body is sending you, and more quickly you would know that your body is ill. So you were saying, could you be ill and these mm-hmm. practices mislead you? I can only speak to yoga versus some of the others, but I think that in general, for example, you put your body in a healthy state practicing yoga regularly, and one of the things that they say about like colds coming on or immune systems kind of weakening is that someone who's practicing yoga regularly is so in tune with what their body feels like at a healthy state, they start to see more quickly the signs of a less healthy state and attack that more quickly. So I suppose you could be misled by the practices, but I think that in general, if you're a regular practitioner, you're going to actually be more in tune, more responsive to the signals your body is sending
you. Plus, it seems to me that if you're a regular practitioner, you're very aware of health. You want to be healthy. That counterbalances anything you try to hide by not going to the doctor to see things if something was wrong.
It definitely does. They say that, you know, when you take one healthy step, that just encourages you to take even more. So any of these, whatever your entrance is, whether that's acupuncture or yoga or going to a wellness coach, mm-hmm. I think that would lead you into one of the other areas of practice.
Let's go to Rick in Troutman. Rick, you're on WFAE. Welcome.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for taking my call. I appreciate mm-hmm. it. I've been practicing Hungar Kung Fu since 1974. Part of our training, we do a form of Qigong training. And the Qigong training that we do, very deep breathing. Some of the techniques that we do involve different sounds, and that helps to exercise the internal organs. Hmm. So not only in the Kung Fu, you get the exercise of the external organs, doing the Qigong breathing, it also helps with the internal organs, keeping them strong. And another point I want to make is our bodies do heal ourselves, but our bodies have to be strong enough in order to be able to help heal ourselves. And the Tai Chi, the yoga, the Kung Fu all attain that, give you the strength to help heal yourself.
And that's why it's called whole health. You're doing all kinds of things to be in the optimal health that you can achieve, correct? Is that what you're saying when you talk about whole health?
Yes,
Rick, hi, by the way. Yes, you definitely, Tai Chi and yoga and Kung Fu, they get to the core of your body. So you're not just exercising physical muscles.
And when you say core, you're talking about
your stabilizing muscles, the muscles that keep you upright. We're talking about your skeletal system and keeping that in proper structure. We're talking about calming your immune system. They're complete and exercise does this. This is why you have to move. If you don't move, your immune system doesn't function properly. You're not getting proper blood flow to certain parts of your body. So exercise, eating well, relaxing, just taking care of your and listening to what your body's telling you, they're it's whole. It makes your health care complete.
Chad on the web says, a number of years ago, I was diagnosed with pancreatitis after seeing many doctors on the East Coast who simply wanted to give me medicine. I found a reflexologist here in town. After 3 months of reflexology, I never saw another sign of pancreatitis again. That was 7 years ago. Dr. Greenfield, you're a doctor and you're in this other world as well. Talk to me about reflexology.
Well, you know, it's, again, one of those areas where there's a lot of debate within conventional medical realms. It's about applying pressure perhaps on the feet or on the hands that actually are supposed to be associated with specific parts of the body. And by applying pressure, you can break up what are believed to be little crystal deposits that may actually help with healing. So there's a lot of debate about it, but the good news is that it certainly can't hurt anybody by having it done, and it very well may help in certain circumstances. Now, pancreatitis is a pretty serious illness. So Chad, congrats. I'm glad that you're feeling a whole lot better. But again, we're speaking about, you know, how do you move forward here and how do you not run into problems by using, let's say, an alternative therapy instead of a conventional one? This really speaks to the need for a good primary care practitioner that you're working with so that the very first thing you do is make certain you're not missing something that might need conventional medical attention.
Does that primary care practitioner need to be somebody who buys into this whole health philosophy?
You know, I really think that when we're talking about whole health, integrative medicine, what have you, it really comes down to relationship. As long as you're meeting with a practitioner who's not going to be judgmental, who's not going to be, put you down for bringing up these kinds of things, then you're working with a good practitioner. Even if they don't know the first thing about acupuncture, as long as they'll have a cogent and respectful conversation with you about it, then you've got a good doctor in your hands.
Do you get referrals from doctors of their patients to you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you do it the other way around as well?
Mm-hmm, I do. I have a few practices that I would refer to, or doctors I've worked with who are more open-minded. I think people are reluctant sometimes to seek out acupuncture or other forms of alternative health care because of a lack of education. And I think the doctors themselves aren't very familiar with this medicine either. So okay.
I honestly think a lot of physicians are open to referrals. The problem is that insurance doesn't pay for it. You know, insurance pays for intervention. It doesn't pay for prevention.
Yes,
and that's part
true.
Of what we need to have changed.
Well, that leads to Donald's question. He couldn't hold, but he wants to try this form of health care, but he's a Medicaid patient. Does Medicaid even cover this kind of care? And you're saying no?
No, it does not, unfortunately.
And this is the whole movement's, you know, focus is to change this healthcare system. You know, this is the 800-pound gorilla in the room, is that we have a healthcare system that does not focus on health. It does not reimburse people seeking care to help keep them well. That's what all of this is about. It's about changing the system so that we can help people be well and support them.
But no healthcare system is going to pay for your gym membership.
But you know what? Wouldn't it be interesting if they did? Because we have more than enough data suggesting that exercise keeps people healthy, body, mind, and spirit. But we don't help people to do that at all.
You do have plenty of examples. Sorry, jumped
okay,
in.
No, okay.
You do have plenty of examples of corporate institutions that have recognized this and have decided to jump in and pay for gyms or bring gyms into their buildings because it helps keep the overall health care cost for the corporation down, which is at least a starting point.
And interestingly, many insurance companies are starting to give discounts for people who work out on a regular basis or who are not smoking or participating in some sort of health proactive activity. So it's getting there. We're just not there yet. And I'd like to point out that our healthcare system is the most expensive in the world. We spend more on healthcare than any other country. And that article
with an outcome ratio that is not commensurate with the amount of money we spend on.
Exactly. When compared with other countries, patients are less satisfied with the services they're getting and less likely to be healthy.
Are those other countries using what we're talking about today, a whole health approach?
Well, in China, certainly, yes.
But what about Europe, where everybody says they have this socialistic medical system? But they have better outcomes. So are they using some of this, or is it strictly better outcomes because people have better access to physician care?
I think that they are, but also a lot of the other countries, the nutrition is very different, and that plays in a huge role. And we don't have a nutritionist here, but we have plenty of people who can speak to it.
How many of you eat meat?
I eat meat.
All of you eat meat.
No,
you don't
eat
meat. How many of you consume dairy products?
No.
Only one of you consumes dairy products. What about those things? This has got to – food has got – you are what you eat. When Grandma said that, she was actually right. So How does that figure into all of this?
Well, you know, nutrition is one of the most important things that people can take control of. The problem right now is that there's just so much noise out there about what to eat, what not to eat, those types of things. Honestly, most people have pretty good common sense about what to eat. You know, I do some work with Harris Teeter, and they've done a very, very good job about sharing information with folks about what's a healthy diet. But splurge every once in a while, and honestly, I think that's important too. Food is more than about health.
But
it's 80
to 90%, 80 to 90% of the food in a grocery store is processed food. You have no idea what's in it. You have no idea how much salt or sugar or fat or what the fat is. You just don't know.
Well, but you can know by reading labels, and this is one of the things.
If you read the labels, it's 90% of the food in the grocery store is full of it.
Oh, but Mike, listen, if you know, there's a lot of fresh food available at many different grocery stores in this community, and the nice thing is, if you're buying, you know, frozen produce, is less expensive than even fresh produce, and you get just as much nutritional benefit from it. So there are lots of ways to eat healthily without necessarily going to a fast food joint, right?
Yeah. Well, you can't eat healthy.
Exactly.
I think people need to be educated too. I think, you know, people don't know the options are available to them. So we need to do a better job of educating the public.
And that's the thing. There's so much noise out there. We just might, you know, make it clear and also make it easily accessible to everybody, regardless of socioeconomic status.
So, like, food and eating is one of the most intimate things you could possibly do. Why would not you want to educate yourself about something like that? I mean, you're bringing things into your body that are supposed to nourish you.
Given the epidemic we have of obesity, a lot of people don't want to educate themselves about it or don't have the time to.
Actually, obesity is staggering. We have about 37% obesity in the United States. 70% of us are overweight. It's a huge, humongous problem.
Will these treatments, if you follow a whole health approach, can you reverse obesity? Because there was an article in the paper today that says some people who are obese, they think now because of some kind of bacteria in the gut, and that the reason some of these bariatric surgeries work is because it rebalanced the bacteria in your stomach and intestines, and you no longer are prone to be obese.
Well, one of the reasons that you develop these imbalances in bacteria in the gut is because of the kinds of foods that you're choosing. So if you're using lots of fast food in your diet, if you're using all these highly manufactured, high glycemic index carbohydrates, things of that, you change the bacterial milieu, the bacterial flora in the gut. So if you eat a more traditional diet, some mix of a Mediterranean Asian style diet, which is not only satisfying and tasty, but very good for you, you can lessen the risk of obesity.
And there are also supplements you can take, such as colon cleansing and probiotics, et cetera, to affect the balance of the bacteria in the gut.
Hmm. And there's a lot of ginger in the Eastern food. Let's take a phone call from Tom. Welcome to the program, Tom.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say thank you to all of your guests for putting the information out there. I'm an acupuncturist in Charlotte, and I just wanted to make a couple of quick comments. One was there is some great research out there collated by a doctor named Dr. Oshman that lists a lot of the scientific basis for energy medicine, including acupuncture. And one of the interesting studies that he cited was the actual proof that channels or meridians did exist. They did some studies back in the 1970s where they actually injected radioactive isotopes into acupuncture points, mapped the pathways with imaging technology, and then compared that to injecting isotopes into non-acupuncture points. And what they found was that the meridians or channels that the Chinese physicians discovered 5,000 years ago truly do exist. So anybody interested in that information, the doctor's name is Dr. Oshman, and I believe his book is called The Scientific Basis for Energy Medicine.
Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with the research study that that Tom is speaking about. Mm-hmm. But there have been also some studies with lesser findings, let's say. But what's really important here is that we actually have some more recent data using MRIs, like functional MRI studies, showing at least the outcomes of acupuncture really are real. While we may not be able to definitively identify the meridians and the energy pathways, we know that the outcomes are real. Lessened pain, increased energy, all these types of things.
Tom, thank you for your call. Lisa on Facebook writes, any comment on the decimation of wild populations of the herbs used in Asian medicine? Anybody have any idea about that?
You mean like exploitation?
Well, I guess they're killing the rainforests all over the world and farming, taking out natural plants and things like that.
Yeah. Personally, I don't carry any animal products in my clinic, and the herbs that we get are from suppliers in the United States that have to be GMP certified, okay. Good manufacturing practice certified.
Dennis in Statesville says, I tried this but had to quit because medical insurance does not recognize it as legitimate and I couldn't afford to continue. How expensive are these kinds of things? How expensive would it be to participate in yoga or Tai Chi or go to an acupuncturist?
It ranges drastically. Community yoga places are opening up all over Charlotte and all over the country, where individual teachers might go out to a park or a beach or whatever and teach yoga and just take donations. So it can be free. Mm-hmm. It can be a couple of dollars.
Can you do it in the home? Do you need somebody to teach you how to do this? Can you get a book or a videotape?
You can absolutely do it at home. I think in general we would recommend that people do take under a teacher at some point so that you understand what the yoga postures are and the proper alignment so that you don't hurt yourself, because you can hurt yourself with mm-hmm. yoga. But you can definitely do this at home and make it as cheap as you'd like.
You know, important to understand that all of us believe that good health begins with diet, exercise, stress management, and getting adequate sleep. And so all the different things that we're speaking about here are great options for folks, but you can do most of this on your own.
Things like acupuncture, is that an ongoing treatment situation, or did you go in for a one-shot deal and you're done?
It's definitely ongoing because, as we're talking about in the beginning, the whole preventative aspect of this.
So how expensive would it be? And I don't know how you price treatments, but how expensive would it be for somebody to do
that? On average, it's about $75 per treatment. And
would you have to go back once a week, twice a week?
Yeah, usually you start with once a week a treatment regimen, and then when you get to the point where you're in the maintenance phase, you go once every other week, and then a lot of my patients will come once a month. And, unfortunately, insurance does not currently cover acupuncture.
We have a question about chiropractic care. Would that figure into this kind of medicine that we're talking about, this whole health medicine? It would?
Absolutely. I get monthly chiropractic visits to help maintain my health. This is Amy, by the way.
And there are two schools of thought about chiropractic.
There's several schools.
So which one is the school of thought that you would recommend?
What are the two schools of
thought? I don't know, but there's two different schools that teach two different methods of chiropractic. So.
Oh, well, I'm not familiar.
And with that, we have to stop because we're out of time. That was Amy Sullivan, certified Tai Chi instructor, whole health educator at Davidson College. Also with us, Melanie Snyder, founder of the Yoga Club. Adrian Wee is a practitioner of traditional Oriental medicine and owner of Inner Peace Acupuncture and Wellness. And Dr. Russell Greenfield, director and president of Greenfield Integrative Healthcare and Greenfield Consulting, and the Andrew Weil of our town. Thank you for being here with us today.